This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
The lights are out.
Curry gets it. The lights go out.
The game is over. And we're here to pick up the pieces. This is Warriors Wrap-Up. On 95.7, the game.
Curry with the ball over to Draymond. Left side, dumped it down to Wiggins. Wiggins holding, waiting. Finds Curry, circles off a screen. Three ball up. That's money. Cold, hard cash. Chase Center is rocking. And the Blazers want time.
Some nights are just all about Stephen Curry, and tonight was one of those nights for the Golden State Warriors as Curry pours in 32, and the Warriors beat the Blazers tonight 118-103, so the Dubs now 17-2 on the season. We welcome you inside Chase Center and inside Warriors Wrap-Up here on 95.7 The Game. John Dickinson with you, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. That is the phone number to participate in the program. You can give me a call. You can shoot me a text at that phone number as we react together to this Warriors victory over the Blazers, 118-103. So 10 in a row at home now for the Warriors. Mentioned the 17-2 overall. They finish a 9-0 November inside Chase Center as they continue at 11-1 overall on the home floor to further just make this place a spot that nobody wants to come as a visiting team. And I think that tone was set a year ago when they went 25-11, even without fans in the building. The beauty of what's been going on during the first month plus of this season is the fans have been able to get back into the act full throat and really enjoy the resurgence of this team back atop the NBA mountain, and that's exactly where the Warriors sit right now at 17-2, an NBA best 17-2. Suns did win again tonight as they beat the Knicks for their 15th straight win, so the Warriors still game up on Phoenix. Those two set to go against each other next week. Man, that's going to be a lot of fun. That is going to be a lot of fun when the Warriors and Suns play a couple of times over a four-night span. Warriors still with some business to take care of in L.A. against the Clippers. And the Suns have the Brooklyn Nets tomorrow in Brooklyn before they'll head home. So hard not to look ahead a little bit at what's coming up here and just how much fun those matchups are going to be. But right now the Warriors handling all comers at this point, and they handle a Blazers team with a late second quarter, early third quarter stretch that shoots them out to a 21-point lead, and the Warriors able to hold on. The Blazers cut it from 21 down all the way to 8 in the fourth quarter. Stephen Curry wound up playing the entire fourth quarter to go for 38 minutes, and he finishes hit a couple of threes as it was 100-92. That was as close as Portland would get, as late as they would get. And then Curry with back-to-back threes right around the 440 mark to make it 106-92. And the Warriors are able to win this one in a game they led by 21 by 15. 888-957-9570. So six in a row overall. My goodness. I mean, this team just continues to streak. And tonight really all about Stephen Curry, a plus 23. And, you know, he was able to set the tone. And it just it was apparent, and we've seen these two teams play against each other so frequently over the years, you know, different iterations of this Warriors team, the Blazers now coached by Chauncey Billups. And a couple of things have stood out through the course of time here where both teams have been good. The Blazers just haven't been able to defend the Warriors at all, and the Warriors have been able to, you know, go through stretches, and we talked about this on Warriors Live, where you almost just feel it's coming. You know, teams kind of exchanging baskets. Portland got off to a decent start early in the game. Warriors kind of clicking. Portland makes it a close game. Warriors stretch it out a little bit. Portland makes it a close game. And you're just waiting for the run. You're just waiting for the run for the Warriors. And the Warriors were able to push the lead at a couple of different junctures. And then the Blazers would answer, but then it was a 16-2 run with the game tied at 42 that ultimately had the Warriors up by 14 going in the half. And then immediately they come out of the gate, and it's 12-6 right out of the chute from 14 all the way up to 20. They wind up up 21 at that point, and you look at the Warriors just able to kind of put this thing not in full cruise control mode. Anfernee Simons of the Blazers got himself rolling in the fourth quarter, and a lot of positive contributions from the Warriors up and down the line on a night where they were a little bit shorthanded in this one. A couple of guys playing, Kuminga and Moody, with Santa Cruz, Damian Lee and Andre Iguodala out, and of course Klay Thompson and James Wiseman out as well. So just 10 bodies for the Warriors in this one, and they were able to make it work and earn this victory by that final of 118 to 103. So 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. Let's go ahead and hear from the head coach of the Warriors, Steve Kerr, a little bit earlier than normal, and head downstairs to the Bill King interview room. And here's what Steve Kerr had to say following this one.
At home, do you want them to stop and smell the roses? What feels reasonable to celebrate right now?
Yeah, you got to enjoy it, especially, you know, what we've been through the last couple of years. We've had some tough times. So I think our guys are enjoying every bit of it. As long as they get ready for the next game and take care of their business, they should enjoy every second of it.
Is that about as good as a lot of your pet action, split action, some of that stuff? Is that about as good as it's worked this season consistently?
Yeah, we had a good stretch near the end of the game, or mid-fourth quarter when they pulled to within eight or whatever it was. We had a good run the other night against Philly, you know, down the stretch of the game, doing the same. So it's been a good action. Obviously, it's tough guarding, you know, Steph off of those splits, and you just got to – figure out ways to score when you're struggling a little bit. I thought the Blazers had us on our heels that whole fourth. Simon's big quarter really changed the game. For the most part, we did a really good job defensively, on CJ and Dame, which was a big part of the game plan, of course. But they hung in there, and they made us work, and so it was good to see us execute offensively.
Klay is out there still, I think, as of like 2 minutes ago. He's sitting on the bench with a towel over his head. Are you seeing how much, you know, maybe during the games he's, you know, this is tough on him?
I just try to put myself in his shoes. And, you know, the good news is he's nearing the finish line on this. But, you know, he can't help but stop and think about, you know, how much he's lost the last couple of years, just on a personal level. He loves the game so much, and not being able to play, not being able to really be a part of the team the way he wants to. It's been pretty emotional for him. And he's a very, very, you know, human. You know, he's very human. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Like he's vulnerable. He's emotional. That's what makes him such a beautiful person. I mean, he just cares, and he loves the game, and he loves the work, and he wants to be part of everything, and all that's been ripped away the last 2 years. So there's times where he's been, you know, pretty down.
What do you think about the two-man game between Steph and Draymond and the fun they have playing together?
Yeah, it's so fun to watch. I mean, those two guys have been doing this for a decade now. And I think I said this recently, but they seem to just read each other's thoughts, and they just know how to play together. That two-man game, there's a lot of different options out of that, and they know how to put each other in a great position to attack, and it's fun to watch.
Steve, I know you mentioned earlier this season that one of the things you wanted this team to do was build, take ownership of its home court. Got 10 in a row at Chase now. What's that? What led to that, and what's it feel like to have the kind of engagement you're starting to get out there?
Well, we have a really good team. That's the main thing. If you're good and you can defend like we're defending, then you're going to win a lot of home games. So I love the way that we've established that early in the season. Our fans feel it. We can hear our fans every night. We hear the noise, the energy, the excitement, and we're building something, you know, with our fan base this year that's really special. And it's different, given that we're in a different building than we were, you know, a few years ago when we were, you know, on top of the league. So this feels fresh and new. And after the last couple of years, I think we've earned this. I think our fans have earned this too.
Is it worth celebrating to have your first perfect month at Chase?
Sure. I'm going to go have a beer right now.
But I probably do that anyway.
You talked about the two-man game between Steph and Dre already. Is this the best version of this duel?
I don't know. They've been doing this for so long, and they've both been so good for so long. I'm just used to seeing it, so it's hard for me to, you know, rank where they are now compared to where they were 3 years ago, because they were pretty damn good then too.
Does it ever feel mischievous for those two, just the way they play with defenses?
They love it. They love the game. They love their style. It's very unique. You don't see a lot of that around the league. And I think that their relationship is a special one, having been through so much together. And the only thing missing is Clay. And hopefully he'll be back and part of that crew too pretty soon. So that'll be the night of the year for sure.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about that being the night of the year. And it feels like we're right around a month, maybe a little bit inside of a month from when Klay Thompson is going to be able to make his return. And it really was quite a scene as the game came to an end and the Warriors won and players were leaving the floor and heading to their respective locker rooms. And Klay Thompson had been seated on the bench, and he remained there a good 20, 25 minutes, maybe even a little bit longer after the ball game and right up until the point in which we hit the airwaves and started Warriors wrap up. And yeah, the fans had kind of remained in the building and on that one side. And at one point you could see he was starting to get a little bit emotional and threw a towel over his head and he was just kind of soaking everything in as far as the emotion, I think, of the journey and just how well this team is playing at this point, being 17-2, and the fact that seemingly on a night in, night out basis, it's just more and more electric inside this building. I'm sure Klay Thompson will get asked about it at some point down the line, just what exactly, you know, he was going through and what was going through his mind. And I know he has addressed at times some of the, you know, how difficult it's been because he's had, you know, 2.5 years nearly taken where he hasn't been able to play. But I do think it's interesting that, you know, different times it kind of catches you. And I wonder if the belief that this team has the potential to do something special is catching him now as he gets into the final weeks to the end of that journey. As Steve Kerr mentioned there, like it's all starting to hit him, that, you know, now the number of games until he comes back is really only a handful, and the number of home games until he's able to come back and the Warriors are able to have that night of the year. Again, nothing official yet, but it definitely feels like it's coming at some point. You heard Monty Poole there with the note about the 9-0 November. It feels like Klay Thompson's going to be playing at some point inside Chase Center in December. And that's going to be a hell of a night, and it's going to be a night where the Warriors may take something that's been very special to this point with this team being 17-2, and depending upon, you know, how he comes back and fits in and the like, I mean, they may have an opportunity to really do something special at that point. And I have to wonder if part of Klay Thompson, you know, being so emotional and just absorbing all of that, isn't the fact that he's starting to realize just how good and potentially great this team could be, and could, you know, be on the brink of something that, you know, similar to what we've seen maybe in previous years. I know a lot of similarities between the 14-15 team, which have just started to get pointed out, and this team. And look, it's very much different, but from the depth to the camaraderie, to the belief, you heard Steve Kerr saying there that it's something fresh, right? That it feels fresh, and I think just on a night in, night out basis, it tends to feel and look a little bit more special. And this team is not only owning the home floor and owning Chase Center at this point. I mean, they're owning the league at this point in time with the way that they've been able to start out the season at 17-2. And yeah, Phoenix is right there on their heels, and we're going to see how that looks over the course of the next month when these two teams play each other twice in the next week, and then another time on Christmas, and then a fourth time toward the end of the season. But I think nightly it starts to look more and more like, boy, there really could be the potential for something to be you know, taken to even a greater level than it's been taken to this point in time by the way that the Warriors have played. All right, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson inside Chase Center, where the Warriors were victorious tonight as they beat the Blazers, a game they led by as many as 21, and they win tonight, a final score of 118-103. Steph Curry, 32 on the night, knocked down 6 threes. Warriors without one of their hotter nights from three-point range as a collective, 32.4%. They only knocked down 12, actually got outshot from three-point range in terms of percentage and in terms of makes, but it was a pedestrian, a nominal 1-3 advantage when you look at it for the Blazers in this one. They knocked down 13 to the Warriors 12, but the Warriors overall in this one, 47 for 87, 54% shooting, and for a good portion of the night, it just felt like Portland had no answer. And we've seen this, and it was referenced in the press conference with Steve Kerr. Blazers just couldn't guard the Warriors, and the Warriors at times have had trouble defending Portland here and there, although they did a really nice job on both Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum. Lillard hit a couple of threes late when the game was basically decided. You kind of looked up and said, well, he found it, but he found it a little bit too late. 32 points combined, 16 in this one for Lillard, 16 for McCollum. Simons got it going in the fourth quarter, but nobody hit the 20-point mark for the Blazers in this one, and they really made Lillard at 5 of 15 and C.J. McCollum at 6 of 17 work. And look, Nurkic at times has hurt the Warriors in terms of his ability to score, but he needs to be on the floor for the Blazers to be successful, and he just at times can't be on the floor without the Warriors abusing the Blazers with just the ball movement, and it's a lot of Steph and a lot of Dre and a lot of just others being able to get theirs in a real comfortable manner. Tonight was a night where it felt like Andrew Wiggins had a real comfortable didn't have to sweat for it 25 on 10 of 16 shooting and knocked down three threes. And it just felt like everything, for the most part, was coming easy for the Warriors in this basketball game. And it really started with Steph. Draymond Green, 12 points. He always seems to be able to be in attack mode against the Blazers, and a near triple-double for Draymond. The 12 points to go with 12 assists. He winds up with eight boards and just, you know, pushing the tempo, hitting players for, you know, whether he's hitting Steph or he's hitting others for layups. Everything clicking in this one. For the Warriors tonight on a night where Draymond Green in double figures in terms of not only the point total, but for the second time this year, he has a game where he goes for 10 or more assists as he finishes with the 12 assists. And you add it all up on a night where the Warriors were a little bit shorthanded with some guys playing in the G League and with a couple of others, Damian Lee and Andre Iguodala being out. And they just get enough of what they need from the five players that they had on the floor tonight. And it's plenty to build a 21-point lead. And it did get trimmed down to eight. It felt at one point like the Warriors might get bit with the new rotation as far as Steph Curry. He's going to play about 6 minutes. Then he's going to sit for three. He's going to play a couple at the end of the quarter. Then he's going to stay out there for the second quarter. And the same in the fourth quarter sub out middle of the third, come back late in the third, stay in for the beginning of the fourth. If you're going to do that, you do have to buy a three-minute rest most of the time if you're Steve Kerr at some point in the middle of the second, middle of the fourth. And it was trouble for the Warriors as they were up 21 going to the fourth quarter. And then the Blazers were able to immediately start 18-5 at that point. It gets down to eight. And right as it gets down into that 8-point range, each team, they exchange some buckets and it's 100-92. And you're thinking, well, if Curry's going to play the whole thing, that's going to be 38 minutes, which is a couple of minutes more than Steve Kerr wants to play him. But you're just sitting there thinking to yourself, well, if he's not going to come out of the game, or if he is going to come out of the game, the Warriors could be really vulnerable because Chauncey Billups put Damian Lillard back in right around the 9-10 minute, right around the 10-minute mark, actually. I think wanting to overlap because the Blazers were getting on a little bit of a run themselves, and also thinking maybe Steve Kerr would take Curry out and there would be some minutes where Lillard would be out there with Simons, who was rolling, and you could turn an 8-point maybe into a one or a two possession game in the 2 minutes, even if it is only two and a half minutes, where Steph would have to get that rest. And it was just close enough for long enough to where I think Steve Kerr thought, you know what, I'm gonna leave Curry in. And I think the hope was that the Warriors could push it back up into blowout status, and then at that point maybe you get Curry out of the game, and it winds up being, hey, you're up 20 again with 3 minutes to go, and then Steph winds up playing just the 35 minutes. As it worked out, though, Steph stayed in the game and then knocked down a couple of threes that helped flip it back from an 8-point game all the way up to a 14-point game, and it was pretty much exchanging baskets from that point forward. So never a blowout again, enough to the point where you thought, okay, you're going to get Curry out of the game, but I think it still is an indicator that at some point here in the very near future, Steve Kerr's going to have to, they're going to have to figure out what the rotation's going to be. They're going to have to figure out, and I think ultimately, because Steph still kind of grumbles at the notion of the way that they're doing it right now, I call it open-minded grumbling, right? Like, he's doing it begrudgingly. They're winning games, they're trying to tinker with things, but I think, boy, you get Klay Thompson back in the fold, and I think you are going to see, and we talked about this a little bit on Warriors Live, I think you're going to see Poole out there with Klay and Iguodala and maybe Otto Porter Jr. and a James Wiseman once he comes back. And I think you're going to get Steph back into that normal rotation where it's all the first quarter, it's all the third quarter, it's the first 5-6 minutes of the second quarter, 5-6 minutes of the fourth quarter, game specific. If you're blowing him out at the end of three, he doesn't come back in, but you leave yourself with a little bit of wiggle room on a night here, a night there, where maybe you want to put him back in a couple of minutes early, you do it, and you hope that you're covered to a greater extent, I think, at that point with the better bench group that you would have. In an attempt to not feel like, as the great Whitey Gleason has put it, not feel like you're a team killing off a penalty, a hockey team killing off a penalty, waiting for Curry to come back into the game. So I think the Warriors feel they're better equipped, but they don't have their house in order in terms of that group just yet, and that's going to be coming down the line once Klay Thompson gets back in, once Jordan Poole emerges into his new bench role. And then obviously James Wiseman, I think, would add another dynamic to that group overall that the Warriors would have the potential to be able to exploit some of their opponents in that way. 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson inside Chase Center. We'll come back. We'll hear from Draymond Green following this one. Some phone calls, some text messages to get to. We also have your Steph Curry three-point update, as well as the Warriors get it done tonight. They beat the Blazers 118-103. You heard it right here on 95.7 The Game.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
Draymond Green. Draymond blasting by Nurkic. Goes in and dunked it with the right hand. Draymond trying to get the crowd back into it, and he does. It's an 18-point lead for the Warriors.
Now back to Warriors wrap-up on 95.7 The Game.
And the Warriors would lead by as many as 21. They go on to win 118-103 over the Blazers. So 17-2 for the Warriors. That is 10 in a row at home now, a 9-0 month of November on the home floor inside Chase Center for Golden State. And you look at the Warriors overall now following that loss in Charlotte. They win the final three games of that road trip, going back to Brooklyn and Cleveland and Detroit. And then they come home, they handle business on the three-game homestand, a sweep of the Raptors, the Sixers, and the Trailblazers tonight. So the Warriors, quick turnaround for them as they'll be on to L.A. tomorrow and an afternoon affair on Sunday inside Staples Center as the Warriors and Clippers will meet for the second time this season. Couple of text messages to get to. Phone lines are open, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. We'll get to Draymond Green here coming up in just a moment. 707, Portland made a run. Kerr called timeout. And then two plays called for Wiggins after the timeout. Do you believe Wiggins can be a go-to in the playoffs when the Warriors desperately need a bucket? Appreciate it coming from Ice-T in Waikiki. Thanks a lot for texting in on the program tonight. I think Wiggins can be somebody. I don't know about a go-to guy, probably one of many, though. And the one thing that Steve Kerr has said of late is that it's kind of on him, meaning Steve Kerr, to pick different opportunities and pick moments in games where he wants Wiggins to be more involved and call plays for him, as he did in a couple of those stretches, and especially on nights where he's feeling it, on nights where he's shooting the basketball well. And tonight was one of those nights where he almost has to force feed Wiggins a little bit to be aggressive. And I think at times, you know, Wiggins' nature is to maybe defer or just go with the flow of the game. And I think the Warriors they play such beautiful basketball with the player movement, the ball movement from time to time. I think what ends up happening is it makes it a little bit easier sometimes for Wiggins to get a little bit caught in the wash and not be as aggressive. It's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just the flow of the game plus his normal personality. So he kind of needs to be prodded a little bit more, or, hey, we're going to run this particular set to try and get Wiggins in attack mode or to try to get Wiggins an open look. So I think picking those spots are important, and I think Steve Kerr said as much, and I think tonight was one of those nights where he did it on a night where Steph was Steph and things were flowing and Draymond was finding other players, but it also was a night where they needed somebody else to come along for the ride with the bench being a little bit thinner. You know, nobody in double figures off the Warrior bench tonight, but everybody that started tonight was in double figures. But having that second player push into the mid-20s like Wiggins did, that became pretty important. So you look at it, I think Kerr getting Wiggins going is important. The 240 on the text line has an issue. Says, bro, Kerr's cuteness will lose the Warriors a very important game one of these days. 240 saying Chioza shouldn't be getting any minutes. Well, I disagree with that on a night where you've only got 10 players available to you. Chioza was definitely going to play. And look, Chioza's helped him at times. And maybe not his best game, although he did knock down a three-pointer. I did find it once Lee was going to be out and Iguodala has been ruled out not only for tonight but for the upcoming road trip. I did find it interesting that tonight was a night where Moody and Kuminga were going to go down to Santa Cruz when they were a little bit more shorthanded on the bench. The Warriors comfortable playing this game tonight with only 10, a couple of guys out, a couple of guys in the G League, and then, of course, Clay and Wiseman out with the longer-term issues. So the bench tonight was going to be Chioza as the one. It was going to be Gary Payton the second as another guard, at least. And then you had Bielitsa as your bigs with Otto Porter. And then you have JTA, who's kind of a combo there. So at that point, you pretty much knew who was going to be playing. And everybody was going to have to play if you've only got the 10 guys. And really, I mean, Chioza was somebody that was going to have to get some minutes in, but Kerr really rode the main four of Curry and Poole along with Green and Wiggins, everybody playing 34, and then Curry not getting the second half rest to finish with 38. So I think it's pretty much cut and dry. And look, at this point, just to finish up on that text, Chioza's ahead of Moody right now. You know, the Warriors are putting a premium on Moody going down and playing more extended minutes in the G League. Same thing with Kuminga, and they thought they had enough to get the job done with the guys that they had, and it turns out they did have enough to get the job done with the guys that they had. They won this game by 15, up 21 before the Blazers cut it down to 8. Different way of getting it done, maybe, in some level than the Warriors had been, but get it done they do. Nevertheless. All right, Eric and Milbrae at 888-957-9570 before we hear from Draymond Green. What's up, Eric?
What's up, JD? Really impressive once again this stellar season. Nobody foresaw this. Just incredible. The defense in that third quarter when they just open up, these teams think they got a shot to keep it close, and Warriors in the second half just really just suffocate teams with that defense to just blow it wide open, and a tie-up game, a three-point game becomes a 15 to 20 point deficit just like that during their dynasty run. It's just amazing what this team's doing. And obviously Curry's playing like the MVP, but that's what they need out of a guy like Wiggins. Efficiency like tonight, that's what they need. Poole has been fantastic all year. The depth and defense of this team, I think, is the key. And you saw what they did to Dame, who, you know, coming back home, wants to really showcase himself, especially going against Curry, who he considers better than, and you know, we know none of that is true, but just this team is just on another level right now. They're locked in his zone. But with all that being said, Phoenix just refuses to lose, so it's they're showing every the league that they're not a fluke. So I can't wait for those two head-to-head matchups right now, because they're probably the only team right now who can give this Warrior team a real competitive game right now with the way they're playing on both ends. What's your take on that then? Just another great win tonight, man. Keep it going.
Yeah, great win tonight. Thanks for the call, Eric. Great win, and I'm with you on Phoenix. I think Phoenix is the one team. They've got some real good wing players. that are young and long and, you know, two-way type of players that I think pose challenges in their own way. They've got, you know, Chris Paul and Booker, and they've got Ayton, who can be a handful, in different ways in terms of, you know, rebounding and at the rim and the lob game. And so he's somebody that's a key component of what they do. How the Warriors match up with him, I think, is going to be interesting. I mean, right now they're the only team, and they have a pedigree. Look, I mean, they at this point, they are ahead of the Warriors in terms of what their group, their current group, has been able to accomplish. Now, look, the Warriors have guys on their team, Steph and Clay and Draymond and Iguodala. When Clay comes back, he's a part of that group. Won't be next week when these two teams play each other twice. But they have multiple players that have won titles. But this core group for Phoenix went to the finals a year ago. This Warriors team has to prove with this group that they can reach that level. So I think, you know, for now, maybe you give a little bit of an edge on the recent experience to Phoenix. But I think, you know, Steph and Clay and Draymond and Iguodala have been closers. Now, it doesn't sound like, I mean, Iguodala is not going to play in the first matchup, but I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch those two teams play. And I think those are the only teams right now, or I think the only team in the Western Conference right now. Utah lost at home to the Pelicans. Sacramento, I know Warriors fans are going to love this. Sacramento is going to beat the Lakers tonight. They're playing down at Staples Center, the Kings and the Lakers, and they're in a third overtime down at Staples Center, and Sacramento's got a 5-point lead with 16 seconds to go. So I guess it is Lakers ball, so don't sleep on the Kings' ability to blow a 5-point lead in 16 seconds, I guess. But in a game that went back and forth, and the Lakers had everybody playing tonight. They had LeBron playing tonight. Anthony Davis is playing tonight. They're at home, and they are 16 seconds away from losing at home to the Sacramento Kings to dip to 10 and 11. So they're a mess. All right. Utah lost to the Pelicans tonight at home in Salt Lake City. Phoenix is the only team right now that is in the Western Conference that I feel like has given the Warriors a true run for their money. But it's going to be interesting to see how things play out. And those games over the course of the next week, I think, are going to be a test. I hope everybody's playing in both of those games, and we get to see them run up and down a couple of times, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. A week from tonight, the Suns are here inside Chase Center. It's the next home game for the Warriors, and then the Warriors get a couple of tests these next two at L.A., which I think could be a tricky matchup with the afternoon game down at Staples Center, and then on to Phoenix. So, no, at this point, it's the Suns and it's everybody else as far as the Western Conference goes, and who can maybe put some pressure on the Warriors, who are off to this unbelievable 17-2 start. And yeah, Phoenix right there on their heels, 16-3 overall. They've won 15 consecutive games. All right, 888-957-9570, 888-957-9570. John Dickinson inside Chase Center. Let's go ahead and hear a little bit from Draymond Green. Always a treat when he meets with the media, and tonight a Draymond night downstairs in the Bill King interview room following this Warriors win. Here's Draymond.
Ooh, 6 turnovers. Jesus, Draymond.
Draymond, you guys are Steve said he wanted to build an environment where you guys protected the home court. It was important to him. You guys won 10 in a row at home now, 9 this month, perfect month in November. What does it mean to just start building that kind of ownership of your home court?
You have to. It's hard to win in this league anywhere. You do yourself a favor by taking care of your home court. Going on the road and winning, regardless of who you're playing, is always tough. Started to include travel and all of those things. It gets a lot tougher to win. So, you know, having a great year, taking care of protecting the home court is extremely important when you're trying to really make a run at things.
You were around for those 2 years back to back where you guys went 39-2 at Oracle. What did it take to do that? And are you starting to see the fan engagement come up here?
Yeah, it takes a lot of focus. I think your home just like you have distractions on the road, there's a ton of distractions at home. You know, your family, which I don't say that in a negative way, but you have to tend to everything in your family. At least when you're on the road, your number one focus can be basketball, you know. But when you're home, that's not your number one focus. Your number one focus is your family, enjoying that time with your family that you don't necessarily get on the road. You know, we spend half of our year on the road. So you're trying to dive in and enjoy that time. And so basketball isn't the number one thing when you're home. So having that focus locked in, knowing how to turn it off so you can enjoy the family time, but yet understanding when to turn it on. And, you know, when it's business, when it's time for business, it's time for business. And I think we've been doing a good job of locking it.
Basketball perspective, how difficult do you think it is for a team like Portland to defend some of your actions when they have a guy like, you know, Nurkic kind of playing draw most of it?
I think they were a lot more aggressive with Nurkic this time around. They didn't have him drop. He was blitzing everything. Their defense at the point of attack was a lot better than I've seen it. And so you got to give them some credit there. It took us a little while to figure it out. For us, it's not necessarily what defender someone got. It's just about running our sets, taking care of the ball, trying to make sure we get shot at the rim. I had 6 turnovers today, which was terrible. But it's just about getting a shot up and just going through our offense. We don't like to single guys out all the time because you can kind of bog your offense down that way. We've seen that a lot of times before, not just with us, with other teams as well. So we still try to flow and keep the offense moving, stay in the rhythm. But sometimes if you find a matchup you like, you try to exploit it. But I think they cover with Nurkic today totally different than we had seen before. I mean, I think at times you like see a blitz here and there, but they were blitzing the entire game with him, regardless of who was coming off. So a lot more aggressive.
Draymond, you took it right at him a couple sequences in a row. Well, maybe 2 out of 3 possessions there. I think it was late in the third, where, and including the one where you dunked the one-handed slam. I mean, how much does that fuel you when you go up against a big guy like that to be able to do that?
It's definitely fuel because obviously I'm undersized on the other end, you know, and got a battle. So try to use my speed to my advantage on the offensive end. And if a guy is pressuring me, I mean, I don't care who it is or how good you're dribbling the ball. If you got a guy just pressuring you and you're trying to stand there and make a play, it's tough. And so when he was pressuring, I just go. And, you know, I was able to get a couple of them to go, make a couple of plays at the rim, get some kickouts. So it's just kind of taking what the defense giving me. If he's pressuring me and don't want me to play make, then I can go to the rim and try to finish.
And Draymond, a few of us saw that Clay was out on the court for a little while. I thought he was going to shoot for the fans or something, but he was just having a little tough moment. And is that to be expected with all he's been through in the last 2 years and the grind of rehab? And just, it's tough for him not to be out on that court sometimes.
It's very tough. And I think, you know, he's right there. He's right there getting towards the end of the road or beginning of the road, however you choose to look at it. And, you know, he had these days from time to time, and I understand it as far as I can understand without going through it. I don't know many people that love basketball the way Clay loves basketball, that loves competing the way he loves competing. You know, I always talk about our dominoes game. He even loved doing that, and he's severely outmatched, you know. So it's just a competitor, one of the biggest competitors I've ever been around in my life. And you see this, you want to be, he's a part of it. So don't get me wrong, but you want to impact the game. You want to have your presence out there, make your presence felt. And after almost 3 full calendar years off the floor, it's tough, you know? And so we sympathize with him. But we have to be right there and continue to push him, continue to try to get him to the finish line or the start line, as I said before. But, you know, he tends to have these days from time to time. And, I mean, who am I to judge or even try to figure it out? I can just show my love, show my support, try to push him. He's improving rapidly, you know, and his game is getting back to where it needs to be. So it's beautiful to watch him conquer his journey, that he's been on. He's conquering it. And, you know, like I said, he's right there. He's almost there. But, you know, if you talk to someone in prison, that a lot of guys say the toughest days are the ones when you know you're getting ready to come home. So we feel for him, but we're going to continue to be there for him, continue to push him, and wait with open arms for these next few weeks in hopes that he'll be back pretty sooner rather than later.
Have you watched any of his scrimmages?
I watched some of like the 3-on-3s that he was doing, some of the 4-on-4s, but I haven't saw any other scrimmages since he started playing 5-on-5.
How does he, you know, in whatever you've seen him, how does he look to you?
Looks good. You know, like I said, if you watch the scrimmages at the beginning, you're like, and you keep watching, and week by week, he's getting better and better and better. And so it's beautiful to see from where he was when I first saw the scrimmage to where he is now. It's like night and day. And it's so beautiful to watch and see his hard work start to yield results. Because, you know, when you're coming off a couple injuries like that, small wins are huge wins. And playing well and pickup is huge for your confidence. So happy he's building that confidence. It's great to see him starting to turn that corner and get his feel back. And but his shot never leaves, but, you know, it's different when you're standing there and just shooting in drills and then you get that game action. So just seeing that come back and all of a sudden he's not short on all his shots like he were, like shots are starting to look just like Klay Thompson shots or shot normally looks. And so he's getting there, and it's great to see. And I'm looking forward to seeing him play more 5-on-5 and then obviously getting him back out there with us.
What did you guys do defensively to keep Lillard from not getting in a groove? I mean, he tends to.
I guarded him.
Yeah.
No, I'm just playing.
it was a team effort.
It's a total team effort when you're guarding someone like Dame. You know, it's not just the one guy that's on him, that's for sure. You know, if you have the idea that you're going to guard him with one guy, 50 points later, you'll still be trying to figure it out, you know, so. Total team effort. Guys was on the string. When he get by one guy, guys was pulling over, trying not to give him threes and get him off the line. You just do whatever you can to try to make him uncomfortable. But a guy like Dame, you normally don't make them uncomfortable. You just do what you can to make them take tough shots. I think we did a pretty good job on him tonight. But as I always say, you can play that same defense and it can end a lot worse than it did tonight. You know, one of the better players in our league, one of the top point guards in our league. Of course, one of the better shooters we got in our league. So we did a pretty good job as a unit tonight in trying to contain them, and we got to continue to build on that.
And an excellent job the Warriors did against Damian Lillard tonight as he was 5 of 15, 2 of 7 from three-point range. They were able to force 4 turnovers against Damian Lillard at only 16 points. As Draymond knows, the Warriors have won a lot against Portland and a lot against Dame over the years, but Dame has had some big-time scoring outputs against the Warriors over that span. Not tonight, and I thought it was interesting, you know, Draymond delving into just what's going on with Klay Thompson as he gets closer to a return here, an emotional post-game scene with him just kind of hanging out on the Warriors bench following this ball game tonight. I know Steve Kerr earlier just spoke to the humanity of Klay, just you know, the vulnerability, how emotional he gets. I think it's interesting. I think there's just it is a very human, thoughtful side to Klay Thompson as he kind of processes. You know, some people are thinkers, and he's a thinker. You know, he's thinking of probably in that moment everything that he's been through and how, man, it's really starting to get close, and this team has the potential to maybe do something special, and he's going to be a part of it at the end of a long, dark, hard road these last nearly 2.5 years. All right, it's time for the Steph Curry three-point update brought to you by Masterclass, as Steph knocked down 6 of 15 from three-point range tonight. So that ups his total for the season to 98 made threes. Masterclass lets you learn from over 100 world-class instructors anytime, anywhere, and at your pace. Get 15% off your annual membership at masterclass.com/the game. Final couple of minutes here. John Dickinson inside Chase Center as we tie a bow on this one. Warriors 118, Blazers 103. The Dubs now 11-1 at home. League's best home record, league's best record overall. Six consecutive games, second longest streak of the season. Warriors already have a seven-game winning streak and a six-game winning streak here in the early going as they sweep the three-game homestand. All wins for the Warriors of this 10-game winning streak now at home by double figures, which is the second longest streak in team history. When did they do that? Back in January of 2017 through the end of February of 2017. So the first Kevin Durant year, the Warriors did that. They had an 11-game streak as well, where they were able to win home games by double digits. That went all the way back to the 14-15 season, late in December through the middle and toward the end of January. Warriors, only team in the NBA still that have scored 100 in every game. And one note that it keeps on rolling for the Warriors, they've won 32 of the last 39 regular season games going back to last season, the 15-5 to close out that one, and then the beginning of this season now with this team 17-2 through the first 19 games of this season. All right, that's going to do it. Before we get out of here tonight, I want to just reiterate condolences to the family of Dr. Elliot Schwartz, who it was announced passed away earlier today. The Warriors releasing a statement, longtime team doctor for the Warriors and also the A's. And just a terrific, terrific guy. If you ever knew or met Elliot, I mean, absolutely loved the Bay Area and the teams that he worked for and the Warriors right at the top of the list. Got to meet Elliot just from working in the media, and he was a big fan of the Warriors and a big fan of this radio station as well. And got to know him, and just from seeing him at games and through Matt Steinmetz at one point, I think he had got my phone number, and he'd be listening to Warriors This Week on a Saturday, and all of a sudden I'd get a text message pop up, and he'd be giving me his take on everything going on with the team and what he thought, who should be playing, who shouldn't be playing. And he enjoyed the run that the Warriors went on over these last few years when they were contending for championships, maybe more than anybody else in the Bay Area. So just an all-timer. And he will be very, very much missed. And condolences to his wife, Patty, son, Nathan. And as the Warriors put in their statement earlier, he will be missed more than words can describe. And again, just a friend of this program, a friend of this radio station, and just one of the best. So just thoughts and condolences and all of that on the passing of Dr. Schwartz. All right. That'll do it. Warriors get the win tonight, 118-103. I'm back tomorrow, 9 a.m. tomorrow. Nick Friedel back for Warriors This Week. Join us for that, and then we'll be back with Warriors Live at 11 on Sunday as the Dubs take on the Clippers. All right, thanks to Sterling, thanks to Craig, thanks to Lubman in our San Francisco studios. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Warriors get the win. You heard it right here on 95.7 The Game.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.